Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains August 15th through the 18th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 205 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I are back, knowing wheel returns for the final triple header of 2024. We're back, episode 205. I think I've already said
you
that. I don't know.
We're both
descending into madness as we get towards the end of the year. First of all, Jamie, wouldn't we? How are we doing?
We're good. I'm good anyway. All going well. Excited for F1 to be back in Vegas, which was an absolute joke before they actually did the race there last year, but then turned into like one of the best races of the season. So I'm quite excited. As much of a farce as it is very funny and very entertaining.
And like everything in Vegas, it's just a lottery, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which, you know, I guess that works. I mean, the big thing, though, Jamie, which we've got to apologise for, haven't we? Because we did get a couple of comments about this last week. The amount of stuff that happened between we recorded last week's podcast, Tuesday, 8 a.m. It released at, like, Tuesday, 5 p.m. The amount of things that happened in that, like, nine-hour window is genuinely incredible.
I've never seen anything like this, even for our standards of missing news. The amount of things was crazy. So,
I mean, what do we want to kick it off with, Jamie? Of course, there'll be timestamps linked down below if you just want to see.
I mean, we could start on it and even make the list of our notes, because Alpine ditched themselves and went to Mercedes, which we've known about for a very long time. The factory at Viry is closing, the one in France, and they're becoming Team Enstone again. Whether they're known as Alpine or not, who knows? Who knows what's going on? But yes, they're moving to Mercedes power units in 2025. Or six?
Yes.
Yes.
2026, I believe.
26, yeah. It's an engine free still, isn't it, until then? So,
yeah.
The factory at Viry is winding down, and Jack Doohan, for five races, will be driving only for Team Enstone, rather than whatever they're called at the moment.
Or whatever they're going to be called between now and then.
They had Mercedes engines back in 15, didn't they? So...
They did, yeah. Before Renault came back, yeah. That podium at Belgium, 2015,
yeah.
Because Mercedes gave them extra power modes
to get rid of the bailiffs. They gave him a trophy. They're like, right, sod off. That was it.
I'm sure that's exactly how it went down that weekend. I mean, it's just bizarre, isn't it? Again, we've spoken about this so many times of just the weirdness that is the way Renault decide. I mean, why don't they just call it Dacia Formula One team and be done with it now? Like, seriously,
it wouldn't surprise me if they do, because it's not doing their brand. I mean, we say this, they did just get a double podium at the last race, but it's not been doing their brand any good for however long they've been called Alpine now. Is it 3 years? 21, wasn't it, they turned into Alpine?
So, yeah, 2021, so fourth season.
Yeah. And have you seen an Alpine on the road? I have,
to be fair. Actually, I saw one literally last week.
I've driven an Alpine around Silverstone. Just drop that one in. I know there is an Alpine garage that I drive past quite a lot, but I've never seen anyone in it. So clearly, on those anecdotal evidences, it's not been working.
I do genuinely like the Alpine A110 Road car, though. Like, if I had,
it's a lot of fun.
Money for what it is.
That's the,
but
the one,
I genuinely love them.
The one high performance car I can talk about. It's a lot of fun to go around a circuit in it.
High performance is strong.
Mid performance.
I'd say, how much power are we? We're going to go down a rabbit hole here.
300-ish, probably. Power? It's really light. It's quite light. It just gets thrown around.
It's got 100 brake horsepower less than my car. 252 bhp.
That's a lot more than my car has, but less said about that, the better. In my 2003 Vauxhall Corsa.
I always forget you've still got that.
Hey, it's going
that's
strong.
Wild. Is he? Or is he just going?
It passes MOT. Well, no, it didn't. It passes MOT once I gave it some money.
Nice.
Real digress and get back on topic. Alpina in the bin.
Yep.
Second bit of news that actually was pretty groundbreaking. Never seen anything like this before. All 10 liveries are being revealed on the same day at an F1 live show at the O2 in London. It's definitely London, isn't it?
Yeah, it is the O2, I believe.
And yeah, I think that's a pretty cool idea, but will be an absolute waste of time at the same
time. Jamie, when what day of the week is that? It's the 18th, isn't it, I believe, of January next year. If you could just double check that for us.
I will double check. F1 live show.
I'm pretty certain it's Tuesday the 18th of Feb, because my birthday's on the Friday.
You should go. Oh, tickets are out.
Tickets are gone. This was going to be a story I was going to say in just a moment. It's a Tuesday night, I'm pretty certain, isn't it?
This racefans.net is not doing me much favours.
It's pooing itself. Okay. Well, let's just say it's Tuesday night. I intend, because I say, I didn't actually think the tickets were going to be this hard to get for it. Fun fact, Amex got early access, so I went through genuinely just out of interest to see how much tickets were a day early, and could have just bought them on Amex then, not thinking anything of it. And then, of course, Friday morning, I wake up and see everyone's had a disaster with it. I will be live streaming a watch along of this show because I think it's going to be terrible.
It is a Tuesday evening.
And if you want to join me for that, I will be live streaming that on Twitch. Maybe it'll be the first ever known wheel live stream.
The thing is, it can't be that. I just done the article. It starts at 8 p.m. UK time. So the latest it'll finish, it must be like 11.
Yeah.
That's 3 hours for 10 teams. It can't be that, like, you know, every livery reveal is just a PR stunt, especially like
exactly
like AlphaTauri was back in the day. Mercedes always is, Ferrari. Yeah. Like, they can't all just be wastes of time because there's not actually that much time. What's that? 500? How many minutes in 3 hours?
Just under 20 minutes each. Yeah. So they're 18 minutes each.
Yeah, and no one will have their 2025 car. There will all be show cars with the new livery, which, you know, it makes our life easier in terms of the amount of things we've got to record, because that time of year is a nightmare trying to plan these podcasts.
Oh, you mean do like eight podcasts a week?
But yeah, it will be fun. Max Verstappen gave his thoughts on it. Did you see that?
I did, yes.
He plans to be ill that day. I back it. He's going to end up in Helmut Marko's COVID camp from back in the day.
That is such a neat reference, and I love it. I mean, you say that. It's just going to be either each team gets 18 minutes of just dribble talk, as they always do. I did live reactions to, I think, like 8 of the 10 teams last year, just based on timing and things. And I remember just sat there watching Alpines going, just talk about, show us the cars. No one cares about the French Revolution of 1638.
1789, actually. But yeah.
I don't know. I don't care. But it's just there. Like, all the teams fluff it up with so much just bad stuff, apart from like a couple of them that just go, Hassel, it's 10 a.m. That's
like,
the car.
Hassel always just drop it at a random like 9:14 on a Tuesday.
Exactly. Yeah, it's great. Has to do it the proper way. But it's all the other ones is just ridiculous. But that, I will be there 8 p.m. on Tuesday the 18th, live streaming a watch along. Because I think it's going to be hilariously bad. I did think about going. The girlfriend and I did talk about it, but we're kind of there going, it was like, because you had to pay for the tickets, and then you had to pay 10% on top of the booking fee, and then all these other kind of fees, because everyone uses Ticketmaster, and it's awful. Like, buying tickets for anything in the 21st century is terrible, and I know we sound like old men.
Well,
but
yeah.
But I was kind of there going, I'd rather save myself 70 quid plus travel plus all the other expenses and just live stream it at home and have a laugh.
Yeah, it will be quite funny. So get excited for that. An absolute farce. And we don't know who's going to be the F1 CEO at that point, which is a nice segue onto the next bit of news.
It's a beautiful segue.
Because
you've done very well.
Stefano Domenicali, who's actually, I think, done an all right job as F1 CEO, looks like he's stepping down or, you know, being shown the door. We don't know the details of this thing. But he's off to MotoGP, which is really weird. Why has he done that if he's chosen
because
to?
Because Liberty owned MotoGP.
So they've basically given him a, like, shown him the door and be like, here's a soft landing for you.
Well, it's not really a soft landing. MotoGP's worth a lot of money as well.
It is, but it's softer
than F1, basically a sidestep. I don't know. You probably haven't seen, but there's been an absolute... They basically have done the same thing with MotoGP as they did with F1. Jamie, they've done the worst thing imaginable.
What have they done?
Do you not know what they've done?
Not really.
What's quite possibly the worst thing you can ever think they
could
do?
Sprint races?
No, they already happen in MotoGP sprint races, Jamie, fun fact, happen at every single event.
Oh, wow.
They do a race on Saturday before the race on Sunday.
What is the worst thing?
They have changed the logo.
Oh, I need to look at this new logo. Actually,
and it's gone down as well as when they changed the F1 logo.
I used to watch MotoGP back in the day, and then my favourite driver died, so that sucked. But
first of all, it's a rider.
Yes. So I stopped watching. This new logo is absolutely fine. Who cares? It looks like Mugello's logo.
Does it?
Maybe I'm making it up. It looks like a logo I've seen before. Anyway, maybe it's those service stations. You know. What's the shop, the fuel place in a service station on the British motorway? That is called Moto, isn't it?
Moto is in Europe, I think.
Oh,
I don't know what kind of petrol station you have in the north. We have quality fuel down here. Everywhere is Shell, Jamie.
Ours are just we don't do Shell up here. No, I don't know what I'm thinking about. But yeah. It looks familiar anyway, it looks not that creative. But
it looks like word art.
It does look, yeah. Someone's probably got paid couple of hundred K for that.
Madness, isn't it? I could have done a better job. And some of you have seen my thumbnails, so they're not great.
Some of you've seen mine. Sorry if you have.
Let's be fair, Jimmy. This obviously, Domenicali was probably the smaller one in all of this, wasn't it? Because randomly, and this did come out like an hour after we did the last week's show, Niels Wittich has been sacked with three rounds to go with a year. Originally, the FIA labelled it as he decided to quit. He turned around and went, well, that's a lie. I just found out like 2 weeks ago that I was getting sacked midway through a triple header. It bizarre, wasn't it?
It was really strange. I think it probably was a result of the red flag debacle from qualifying in Brazil.
No, because it was apparently from COTA. Something happened at the COTA weekend that has caused this.
And it wasn't
and I could not work out what it was.
He's nothing to do with the stewards.
No.
That is bizarre.
He's just race control. So something has clearly happened that weekend that has caused this, apparently.
There wasn't even that much weird, was there? Yes, you had the sprint. There are lots of incidents in both qualifying sessions, but that was it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, that's what I can work out. Because obviously there was more controversy, obviously, with the race, with like the penalties and stuff.
Yeah, but that was all stewarding, which isn't him at all, is it?
Exactly, so, which he has nothing to do with. So it's all a little bit peculiar.
Strange.
Wasn't it?
And you feel for the F2 guy stepping up. Because it's a lot of pressure on, you know, your first ever F1 race being Vegas is a bit intense. And he's obviously race directed F2 for a period of time now. But
F2 is always chaos. This will be a cakewalk.
I guess, actually. F2 is always a bit. Yeah, you'll be pressing the safety car button a hell of a lot less now, I'd imagine.
It's going to be one of those things, isn't it? That's kind of going to go away, and then Niels Wittich will write his book in 5 years, and we'll all talk about it again. And then it will suddenly connect a load more dots, and everything will make more sense. But it is a really, really weird one, isn't it?
So Rui Marquez is the guy stepping up from F2.
It's how mad, isn't it? The fact that Charlie Whiting did it for, what, like nearly 30 years, wasn't it?
It
was from like
the
early 90s, I think, to the obviously 2019 when he passed away. And since then, we've had like five in 5 years. The madness, the end of 2021 would never have gone down if Charlie was in charge with it. We could both accept that. But kind of just everything since then, this kind of, and we've moaned about it before, haven't we? This weird kind of trying to find the middle ground with Formula One of how far can we try and push the show over sporting integrity? And I've moaned about it many times before. They cannot fall down the NASCAR trap.
No.
And it worries me still that they might.
It would take a while. I think we're quite far from that at the moment, thankfully. But
all the little things that you don't realise at
the time. I watched Brazil 2019 highlights earlier. A very busy work day. And that was the race that made them realise they could use safety cars to their advantage. Because Bottas definitely didn't need a full safety car, sorry. And then it caused some chaos with the Ferraris crashing and Gasly on the podium and Albon crashing. Yeah. Since then, safety car all the time. apart from this year, with, what was it, 9 races in a row without, but you know.
Yeah, 9 GPs because nothing
happened. You can't call a safety car when no one crashes, I suppose.
It is, well, to be fair, NASCAR do manage it. They have phantom debris cautions in NASCAR, so which mad. Is quite incredible. I mean, one driver, obviously, that Jamie won't be causing safety cars next year is Zhou Guanyu, because of course
he's getting
sacked.
You never know.
Fun fact, I don't know if I told you this, Jamie, but he, obviously, because he's fairly in the F1 scene, I won't name names or anything, but apparently he's communicated that he's not too gutted to be out of the Sauber car next year.
I'm not surprised.
He's basically, I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was along the lines of, to be honest, it's probably more fun to be out than just sat in that car for another year.
Yeah, yeah, and he's going to be Ferrari test driver, which is actually quite a safe place to land, isn't it? Because a lot of drivers have gone down that route. When
it's
F1
a thousand IQ move, and it makes so much sense.
It does,
because
it really works
for
everyone.
Well, Ferrari already have. I can't remember. I think his. I want to say his surname is Fay. I'm pretty certain. Yufei Fay. I want to say.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
But who's Chinese and races in Ferrari's LMDH program, so WEC. So I can easily see this kind of Zhou doing, you know, technically as their reserve driver and all this, that, and the other, but will just get shipped off to do WEC or something like that. Which, as I've said many times before, either that or Formula E, I think would be absolutely perfect for his skill.
Yeah, I think he'd be very good at endurance racing because he's very consistent and doesn't stack
consistently
it.
2 seconds off Bottas's pace.
Not two, only maybe like 0.6.
That's still not great. Bottas would be a good.
It will be fun seeing Lewis Hamilton drive Joe's setups, and if Hamilton
Joe's
has
setups.
Any success in Formula One next year, it will all be down to Zhou Guanyu testing.
It'll all be Zhou Guanyu, will it? Okay, is that exactly. Why Ferrari, Michael Schumacher, Rubens Barrichello always credit all their success to Luca Badoer?
Exactly.
Actually, to be fair, Michael did.
He did, yeah. He actually did. Michael was a very humble guy. Still is. Well, we'll move on.
Yeah. No, I'm just going to let you try and dig yourself out of this hole.
Yeah, I realise I spoke about him like he's dead, but he's not, as far as we know. So he's joining Antonio Giovinazzi and Robert Kubica. Nope, not Kubica.
We should just stress this is Zhou Guanyu, sorry, not Michael
not
Schumacher.
Not Michael Schumacher. Zhou Guanyu, yes, is joining Antonio Giovinazzi, who Ferrari won Le Mans, didn't they? And something else.
They did, 2 years back-to-back.
Yes. So, you know, it's a very good network to be a part of, isn't it? The Ferrari reserve drivers. So I'm quite happy for him, and I'm pretty sure he's probably quite happy for himself as well.
Well, let's not forget either, Jamie, the idea that Ferrari now are going to bring in an unfathomable amount of Chinese yuan from this deal.
And you can
like
guarantee...
The amount of Ferrari Chinese sponsorship that is going to be on that car next year is going to be insane.
I guess it is around two. I was going to say you can guarantee that he'll be driving FP1 in China, but it's quite early for that. So maybe not.
It wouldn't surprise me if they still throw him in.
We'll see. But
I can genuinely see the FIA allowing Ferrari to have a third car that weekend, just so he can go out.
Stick him back in the Sauber for that race. That would be good. Oh, and he can get his own park Fermi, but even if he doesn't take part in the race.
That is so funny.
We will,
the end of free practice one, they give him a podium thing out on the track.
Yeah, seriously. I think it genuinely, unironically, does make a lot of sense for everyone. So, well done, Zhou Guanyu. And Bottas to Mercedes looks pretty nailed on as well.
Yes,
as a reserve driver. We spoke about that last week, so yeah.
Well, I mean, let's talk about Vegas then, Jamie. Obviously, like we said, last year's race was probably one of the best ones of the year. It's an early morning, isn't it? 6 a.m. Saturday and Sunday.
It's always a good vibe. I do like getting up early for an F1 race.
I don't mind an early grace. But to be fair, I'm normally up. Like I'm more of an early morning person anyway. I think you're the same, aren't you?
Similar, yeah. Not 6 a.m. So I up it, but
yeah. Oh, not 6 a.m. but like 7 a.m. for me normally. But you know, I quite like obviously an early start because then you get the whole weekend still. You don't have to plan your entire weekend around the F1. Not that I've got much planned.
I genuinely
this
don't do that very often anyway. But yes, I do like getting up early. It means you can always definitely watch it and you know get on with the rest of your day at 8, and you don't have to think about the race. But hopefully it's a good one. Last year it was genuinely really good, as I said. So. We can hope we get similar. I think it was partially really good because we scrapped all of practice when one of the Williams, wasn't it, like blew up a...
No, it was Sainz in the Ferrari.
Was it Sainz?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm thinking of Russell at Baku, I think, from well back. But
Yeah.
The manhole cover, wasn't it? Destroyed his chassis. And he got a penalty. He got a 5-place grid penalty, if I remember rightly. And all practice got cancelled. So that was nice for the fans who showed up. But it did make
thousands upon thousands of dollars to go.
A very good rest of the weekend because we had no free practice.
And helped by the fact the track was ice cold.
Yeah, which is probably going to be similar, isn't it? A night race in Nevada this time of year.
It should be. Let's have a look. Las Vegas weather.
If it's anything like Manchester, it'll be snowing. So
it's 6 degrees tonight. It's 8 degrees is meant to be. So,
well, that'd be nice then. Nice and cold. Good. It's probably the softest range I'd imagine from Pirelli, but.
It's not a particularly abrasive track on the tyres anyway, is it?
No.
It's all straight lines.
Really dusty as well. So
I'm trying to think. It's literally got two high-speed corners on the entire lap, doesn't it, really?
And one of them, I guess, you managed to crash at last year.
Well, I was going to say, but that's the two I was thinking of. I guess you could try and claim that the final corner on the start straight is technically that as well.
It's too flat for that. It's not exactly a Singapore last corner, is it?
No. It's completely pinned, easily.
Yeah, we've got a bit of stuff to settle still. So obviously the small matter of the World Championship, which will go the way of Max Verstappen at some point, whether it's this week or next
week. I want to see it in Qatar.
Qatar
sprint. Because it'd be funny if he wins it in the sprint again.
With someone else winning the race. Oscar Piastri to win the Qatar sprint. With Norris, again. With Verstappen winning the championship in second.
Yep. No, I want to see him finish behind Lando. I want to see a McLaren 1-2, but Max takes it.
I hope it's one of those.
Actually,
where,
I don't
like,
want to see a McLaren 1-2.
I hope it's one of those where like Norris has to outscore Max to stay in the running, and then like Max DNFs, and Norris finishes like sixth or something.
Norris doesn't do it.
Yeah,
but that's basically where we're at this weekend, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lando has to outscore by five, Max, doesn't he? By three.
Yeah.
No, it's three, isn't it? I thought
it's only three.
I think it's only three.
Yeah, even so. I think that'll probably... It looks, based on the last 11 races, where the Red Bull's been the third fastest car at best.
Not every time.
It will be likely that Norris does outscore Max by 5 or 3 points, or whatever it is.
But you say that. Let's be fair, this is Lando Norris.
He's had one bad race. He's still an okay driver, but Brazil was
I love the fact that he came out this week. I don't know if you saw this, but he came out the weekend saying, you know, Max, it was the first five races that won in this title. And of course, yes, you can talk about the psychology and stuff. After those first five races, Max has still outscored you. He'd still have a 10-point lead in the championship if those first five didn't happen.
On average, Norris has had the fastest car since Miami. And the gap has gone bigger in Verstappen's favour.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm just trying to think, up and down the grid, Jamie, if you gave different drivers that McLaren,
over the
Hamilton
course of the season,
would be the champion. I'd say Leclerc would be champion. Obviously, this is going up against Max Hill in his Red Bull.
That's probably it,
Russell, potentially?
No. I don't think Russell
would. Yeah, I reckon Russell.
I'd put Russell and Norris on a similar level. Russell crashed fighting dirty air in Australia.
No, but that wasn't. That was first five races anyway, Jamie, so that's irrelevant.
Oh, yeah. Alonso 10 years ago would have done.
Yeah, but that's pointless. My nan might have 10 years ago.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Verstappen has obviously put a very good season together. And the ones that are forgotten are like beating Norris in Belgium, coming second in Singapore, second in Zandvoort.
Did he
beat
Norris in Belgium?
Yeah, he did.
I thought you finished behind him.
No, he beat him by
points. Norris was terrible that weekend, wasn't he? Yeah.
Stuff like that has, like, those big points in races where he shouldn't have been that high, where Perez was finishing 15th. That's what's going.
But I also think it's been helped for him because, and I know you're going to try and disagree with me here, but Max still has not proven himself to not be a bottle drop in a tight championship fight. Having those 50, having that,
you can say the same for Hamilton.
No, you could. Hamilton brought it back from the brink in 2021
and
2008. Yeah, but not through his... Oh, this is my whole point, though. Max started to throw away points, making stupid errors at the end of 2021, whilst Hamilton would have won, what was it, four races in a row?
Yeah, with the fastest
with
car
no
by a long
way. With no mistakes whatsoever. With no mistakes whatsoever. My
from
point
failing
is...
to defend the inside at Abu Dhabi Turn 5.
Right, okay. My point is that Max, at the end of 2021, got the penalty in Qatar obviously binned it in Jeddah, and whatever the hell
whatever happened in Jeddah, yeah. Who knows?
My point is the psychology for him this year has obviously had to have been easier because he's had a 60-point buffer.
It's true.
Like, imagine if Hungary had happened and he had a 10-point lead going into that weekend or something.
It's
obviously,
true.
It would have been a completely different story. This is why I so desperately want to see Max now being put in a position where the FIA... You know, obviously, in 2021, you've said it as well yourself, that obviously the FIA were desperate for Mercedes and Lewis not to be on top anymore. Had it been the other way around... No, it was. Had it been the other way around... They literally changed the rules that year to try and screw Mercedes.
Oh, yeah, but that which happens, of course. Every period of domination, yeah.
But obviously, they do then generally start to side with the opposition and things like that anyway.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that thing of... You know, at the end, if Abu Dhabi had been the other way around, I don't think they would have restarted the race. It would have just ended under safety car.
I disagree with that, I think.
But it's why I want to see a proper points fight next year between Leclerc, and Hamilton, and Max.
We will get it, because the way, as you say, since round seven, or whatever, it's round five onwards, it's been really, really tight for all of the top three teams in terms of pace. Maybe the points have gone Max's way just because he's been performing at a better level, I would say, than more consistent level than the rest of the drivers.
Well, Charles got screwed in those four race spell where Ferrari absolutely had a meltdown, which I think apart from that he would be the highest scorer. The idea that obviously if that those four races hadn't happened, Charles would be, I mean, he's going to be a bit way back now, wouldn't he? But he'd be what, 30 points behind Max-ish?
Something like that, yeah.
And obviously it's things like Mexico, they would have just given him the win, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, of course, this all swings around, about, but it could be still a title fight going
and next
Abu
year,
Dhabi.
I think we were in for a great season because...
Let's hope so.
There will be...
Either that or
least,
Ferrari are just dominant.
There'll be at least three teams capable of winning. Potentially four. Potentially even five if Newey works his magic. We'll see.
He can't yet, but okay.
It's going to be a good season next year. But this year's actually been well above expectations. We'll see that when we react to our awful preseason predictions.
Yeah, we will, to be fair. I mean, to be fair, you say that, Jamie. After the first 21 races this year versus last year, we've seen a 30% drop in overtakes. Did you see that stat today? Yeah.
But overtakes don't make a good race. That's a misconception.
Well, they help.
They do help,
but yeah, they're not the be-all and end-all, are
like
they?
Baku this year was a great race, and you got an overtake... like a key overtake once, and then the rest of it was just really intense. And Belgium too. Yeah. Like, they're good races without many overtakes, but yeah.
Should we do your quiz, Jamie?
Go on then. You were trying to prep answer list for this and having an absolute nightmare, so I'm excited.
No, I didn't have an absolute nightmare. It was just I knew the list would be there. It was just finding it was the problem. So, I'm going to give you, I think, there's only 8 answers for this one, so I'm going to give you 60 seconds.
Okay.
So, Jamie... Do you remember, obviously, Las Vegas was the return, wasn't it? Obviously, to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
After the Caesars Palace Grand Prix of which years, do you remember?
82.
And 81. Correct. You have got to name me the 8 American drivers that have raced between that first race in Vegas and, obviously, now,
present day,
I suppose. You've got 1 minute. Your time starts now.
Okay, Logan Sargeant.
1.
Alex Rossi.
2.
Eddie Cheever.
3.
Mario Andretti.
4.
The other Andretti.
I don't know who you mean.
I don't know who I mean either. Is there not another one? Americans. Oh, Scott Speed.
5. Five.
I think. This must be all 90s now, I think.
You got 30 seconds.
Americans in the 90s. Isn't there more good ones that I'm forgetting about?
Not really.
Oh, well. The thing is, they always make a big deal about Americans racing in F1, so Scott Speed would have been the first one since the one.
10?
Oh, no.
9?
No, I don't think I'm going to get any more, to be honest. I was going to say DeAngelis.
Two,
he definitely wasn't American.
1-0. No, he certainly wasn't. DeAngelis?
He also raced back in the 60s and 70s, didn't he?
I'm trying to think.
Elio DeAngelis? He was
Elio DeAngelis, Yeah. So you say you've got Logan Sargeant.
Can I have the years and the teams potentially of the other ones?
There's one I need to try and work out because obviously you said Andretti.
Is there not? I swear there was Andretti's brother. Was he just a team owner or did he not race?
Which Andretti?
So I mean Mario Andretti because he's the one who won the championships.
Yes, he is.
Michael Andretti is the other one.
Yes, his son.
His son raced
for McLaren in the early 90s.
That's what I meant. I meant the one who wasn't Mario, so I'm having that.
No, you're not, because you said Mario Andretti. You can't claim
I said Mario Andretti, and I said the other Andretti. That counts.
Yeah, but you have to give me the name. You can't just say the other. That's like saying name any Brazilian Formula 1 driver to go Fittipaldi. Oh, and the other one, and the other one, and the 16 that they've driven in Formula 1 for like one-offs.
Well, I'm having half a point. I'll have 5.5 out of 8.
No, you're having 5. So you forgot Michael Andretti. You forgot Danny Sullivan.
Never heard of him.
Who raced in 1983. He spent just one season in Formula 1. He got 17 wins in IndyCar, but only ever scored 2 points in Formula 1. Obviously, you said Eddie Cheever. And the last one that you didn't get was Bill Vukovic. Raced in 1965 and then 67 to 83. So he might be the most experienced American ever in Formula 1 with 161 starts, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, if Sargent stayed around for 2 more years, he'd have that, to be fair.
Pretty much, yeah. And the thing that staggered me, which is just for viewers rather than Jamie, Skip Barber. I was adamant was just a racing series. I never knew it was actually named after a bloke called Skip Barber.
Skip Barber is the most American name.
There's some brilliant American names. I love it so much.
What, Britt Ferrari?
Dick Trickle, of course. Oh, Britt Ferrari is your one. Dick Trickle. What else you got? You got Cuckoo Marlin, I think.
I don't know what.
Sterling Marlin. These are just NASCAR guys. It's so funny.
I mean, Scott Speed is a good one as well. So.
Scott Speed is the best F1 name ever, if you are actually good at F1.
Did you know there's a guy called Jeff Andretti?
Quite a few Andrettis, Jamie.
Yeah, they're a big family.
They are. Well, they're an Italian mob family, so...
And they're going to buy Alpine. That's my conspiracy for the day.
It could happen, to be fair. I guess the last thing, Jim, we've got to do is predictions.
Hey, we didn't talk about Monaco.
Oh, we didn't talk about Monaco. Pretty simple. Monaco is being moved into June, which sadly means the greatest weekend in motorsport is ruined, because we've now got no Indy 500, Monaco, and Charlotte 600. Which is a bit of a shame, but basically they announced that's NASCAR. They announced obviously that Monaco was moving, and people got really confused when it was obvious it was just going to swap with Montreal, and then they made a separate announcement literally earlier today.
Do you know why they've done that?
Oh, excuse me, that Montreal's going to move to go next to Miami, I think.
Do you know why they announced that separately, so they can claim the glory because they've moved Canada closer to other American races and say it's carbon neutral?
Well, that's only for 2026, though, isn't it?
And onwards.
So we don't actually know. Well, it's 2026 onwards, but we don't know officially yet when exactly how it's going to work. But, I mean, it would make more sense. Say, for example, if they're trying to just base it on the 2025 calendar. Do Australia, China, Japan, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, chuck in Abu Dhabi there. The fact that we have to go back is stupid. And Qatar is stupid. Then go Monaco, and obviously Imola's not going to be there in 2026, no. To be fair, I suppose. Spain, then do Miami in Canada, or do Miami in Canada earlier. Yeah, they just need to bunch up races and stop putting 3-week breaks in everywhere.
And they've
just
still
spread
got
out the Grand Prix you're doing.
Vegas, Qatar, Abu Dhabi at the end.
Yep. So
fact,
stupid.
Yeah, I guess
so
they get
stupid.
The extra day from racing on a Saturday.
But it's still the jet lag, isn't it? That's the horrible bit for the drivers.
Yeah.
Just really, really, really odd. But anyway, Jamie, predictions.
Predictions. No sprints, obviously.
What are the scores on the doors?
You're beating me, and obviously not long is left.
No, exactly.
You are 5 points clear. And given that I never tweet, it'll be quite obvious that
you've got to change your profile picture. It's got to be Lance Stroll for a year.
Oh, has it? I just didn't know that.
I think so.
Well,
no, I don't know.
I can't do that.
What
my picture is of me when I was 18, so I don't mind changing. No,
exactly. I reckon you should have to change it to one of you with Lance Stroll.
If you can make that
Photoshop
happen,
Lance
absolutely.
If someone can Photoshop Lance Stroll's face onto Jamie's profile picture instead of Lando Norris, that would be incredible.
That would be great.
And I want it done badly.
Or even better, if you can just arrange a meeting between me and Lance Stroll in real life, I'll totally
that'd
do that.
Be ideal. That'd be ideal. Lance, I'm sure, is a listener of the show.
Exactly. But yes, you are 5 points clear of me.
Wonderful.
With not that many points left to play for. What, only
we've 26 points left?
To play for.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Ferrari are going to be good, which is always a bit risky.
They deserved last year's Vegas.
I did. I'm going to go Charles Leclerc on pole.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go Charles Leclerc to win the race.
Okay.
I'll go Oscar Piastri to finish second.
Okay.
And I'll go Max Verstappen to go third and secure his title.
So title's going to be wrapped up this weekend. Interesting.
I'm just spreading my bets because one of those drivers will be on the podium. So.
Yep, it's a safe way to go about it. I'm trying to think. Baku, wasn't it? Was the last... Baku and Las Vegas are pretty similar.
Yeah, and Baku was a Piastri from Leclerc.
It was. But it was Leclerc that took pole there, wasn't it? The problem is, I really want to say Leclerc was going to be my safe bet for pole. Because I thought you were going to go differently.
You got it in Mexico.
Yeah, it's a fair point. But Sainz can't do well on the low downforce circuits.
Mexico's quite high downforce.
Leclerc's not particularly great on the low downforce circuits either. He struggles at Monza. You know what? Yeah, I'm going to say Carlos Sainz.
Wow.
I don't think
we've ever predicted Carlos Sainz to win or get pole at any point in this podcast.
I don't think it's because he very rarely does.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Lando Norris P1. I mean, whenever Sainz takes pole, he always wins, doesn't he?
Carlos Sainz win? Is that what I heard?
No, it's not. Not that stupid. I'm going to say Lando Norris win. Keep the title fight alive. I'm going to say Leclerc P2. And I'm going to say Carlos Sainz P3. I think he's going to get screwed over on strategy.
Probably. Wouldn't be much of a surprise. And
definitely throwing away points.
For the postseason test.
Yeah. Exactly. Which is good news for him, I suppose. What are Sauber going to do with the postseason test? Do you throw Bortlet in there?
Hulkenberg will probably be allowed to go.
Yeah, I suppose you throw Bortlet in, don't you?
Hitting me that I've only got three more races of Hulkenberg being in a good car. That's actually really sad.
It's Sauber next year might be fantastic.
It won't be, will it?
It won't be, but it's just going to be awful. It's going to be such a fun... I can't wait for Hulkenberg to throw away a year of his career, but he's got not much time left.
When he's 36, yeah.
Yeah. And then Audi are going to come in. He's going to do 2 years, yeah, and they're not going to make much progress, so he's going to retire, and then they're going to leap forward. And it'll be incredible. It'll be incredible.
That's the way it goes.
Have we got anything else to add, Jamie, before I round us out?
Hulk's actually 37, so that's even sadder.
Deary me. It's bad, isn't it? Thank you all so much for watching as always. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure you leave a like. Get yourselves subscribed. We're still aiming to make 1k subs by the end of the year. I apologise, I've been a bit bad with posting up content in recent weeks. But yeah, Jamie and I will return next week. We've got a lot of podcasts coming up at the end of the year to review the Las Vegas Grand Prix, where we see Alex Albon get his first ever Formula One win.